I'm Jackie.
I'm Gina.
Welcome to Bold Leap, where we focus on capturing the raw, authentic narratives of people like you
who took a bold leap to pursue their dreams. If you're struggling with how to make it happen and how to get started,
or maybe you just need a seed of inspiration,
then we invite you to take the bold leap.
Like, subscribe, and follow.
Today, we're going to talk about something.
We're switching it up today.
We're taking
a little bold leap to do something a little different. We're going to talk about death, because really, when you think about death and when you really explore death and when you talk about it, it can teach you to live. So let's talk about death today, because you know what? That's the one thing we all have in common. We can't control it. Right?
Yeah. We've all lost people, and we all have lost people
that
are close to us.
Right. And so we have Bill McAllister joining us because he loves this topic.
Well, I do think it's fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you're born, you will die.
Right. But do you think about it?
I will tell you, when I was younger, as I think most people do, you think about your parents, like, please don't let, whether you pray, whatever it is you do, please watch over so-and-so, please don't let my parents die. You think about death from a very young age. At least I did. I didn't have many hobbies. But but I mean, as a kid, I think most kids think
they
about
worry.
Their parents. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
They worry. Yeah.
It's maybe not top of mind all the time, but I would, before I go to bed, I'd say my prayers, and every night, please bless mom, dad, Teresa, Barbara, Bruce, my siblings. Mm-hmm. Please don't let mom and dad die. Whatever it is, you always think that. And then when you're older, hopefully you're older when that happens.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, it actually happened. And then you kind of come to the realization,
it's going to happen.
At the old Doors line, no one here gets out alive.
Right.
If you're born, you die. Now, if it were up to me.
Yeah.
And vampires were real, I would love to be bitten in the neck and be immortal. Like, I'd love to live forever.
Would you really?
Oh, my God, yes, because you can take yourself out whenever you want. If you believe the lore of vampires, you know what? I've been around for 2,000 years.
Your religion. Bill's religion.
I've had it. I'm just going to walk out in the sun.
Apparently, you've watched a lot of Twilight movies.
Oh,
wait. But that's really interesting. Yeah. You would want to live forever?
Only because you could take yourself out whenever you got tired of it.
But you wouldn't take yourself out.
And I'm not really keen on eating human flesh. But in theory, and I think the kids call it FOMO, the fear of missing out. In the back of my mind, eventually, I don't want to be 95 years old and not healthy and not able to tend to my own needs, which I don't know many 95-year-olds who do, or 90-year-olds.
Right.
You need help.
Right.
I feel like life is an arc. Mm-hmm. You're born.
Right.
You need someone to do everything for you.
Right.
And then you reach that peak, middle age, the middle of the arc.
Yep.
And then you start needing people to
do
it again for you.
Yep.
You start in diapers, you end in diapers.
Right. Right. But the idea that you would want, now, Gina, would you want to live forever?
I know the answer
for me. Yeah, I would not.
It's not anything I've ever thought of. I mean,
What's the quality of life?
Right. I was going to say, what's the quality of life? You know, I had a grandmother who lived to almost 101.
Right.
Wow.
Right. So what the quality of her life at the end wasn't what it was in the, you know.
Right.
And when she was 99 or even 100. So at the end, there wasn't the quality. So as long as I could have a quality of life.
Yeah.
A quality of life. Yeah. Then I would want to live. Mm-hmm. I want to live as long as I possibly can.
You would not.
No. Mm-mm. I feel like I have a certain age that I would like to leave. I don't want to say what.
I have one too.
Leave people wanting more.
No, there's people that want me to leave even sooner, but no, I do. Like, I have a certain age that I feel like I'll be good up to this point.
Yeah. And think everybody want to
go.
Set.
Yeah. And then I want to go.
And do you feel, because I have a number two, and I'm with you. I mean, I'd say it, but you know, remember on that podcast, he didn't get anywhere near that.
We don't want anybody to think you're setting a goal.
Right.
Right.
But I'm assuming and that at that number, you fulfilled everything you wanted. You're satisfied. You've like, you know what? I'm good.
I hope.
I'm ready to go.
Yes.
I'm okay going.
Yep. That's okay.
Is it because you don't want to experience life when it's like we just discussed, where you feeble maybe?
Yep. And I don't want people to have to take care of me.
And I agree with that. Yeah. I want to be able to go when, you know, before it gets to that point.
I saw my dad like that too. My dad died of cancer, 7 years ago. And the last 3 months of his life, he was bedridden in hospitals here and there facilities of one kind or another.
Yeah.
Couldn't drink water because he couldn't swallow. So he had to have, it was almost like Jell-O. Jell-O type water. So he couldn't even drink. Couldn't swallow anything. That's no quality.
No. Mm-mm. And Jackie and I have that in common. We lost our fathers within months, not even months, weeks of each other. And 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, so the quality of life for each of them who were, you know, robust, gregarious, outgoing men who, you know, were into everything and knew everybody and knew how to do everything.
That was my dad.
Right.
Yep. They both had sudden onset health issues that neither of us were expecting.
Right.
And both lost their battle.
Right.
And looking at that, neither of them, I speak for your dad too, but neither of them would have wanted to live at a diminished capacity.
No, not at all. And have people take care of them.
No.
Absolutely not. Right.
That was one of the things when my father was in the hospital, much like your father, Bill, was in the hospital at the end, and we were trying to make medical decisions and they were recommending this and recommending that. And it's a horrible decision because you feel like you're deciding their fate.
Right.
And we'd asked to meet with a priest or a minister, and she came in and she said, "Here's what I'm going to tell you. On the day you're born, God has the day that you'll go. And so you can do absolutely everything that the medical professionals tell you to do, and the person can still die. Or you can do absolutely nothing that the medical profession tells you to do, and they still live." Like, what you're deciding to do or not do is not sealing their fate.
See, that's good to keep in mind, because I think that's a guilt.
It was very much a guilt. Like, what if we don't do this? What if we don't do that? And that really did help us to take a step back and say, okay, I'm not sealing his fate. His fate has already been sealed by God, by a higher power. And
if you believe that.
Right.
Right.
We chose to believe that, to believe that.
But even just the idea of having to make a decision on, you know,
a medical treatment, a procedure,
resuscitate or not. Just even a decision like that.
Do you feel, you said it made you feel guilty?
Yeah, I would have a really hard time making that decision.
But did you, I guess I would say this, did you think you were making the best decision for them since they couldn't make it for themselves?
Yeah, I think that's what, at the time, reflecting back, we thought, okay, the hospital's recommending this procedure. The hospital's recommending that we do this or do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was up to us making these decisions on his behalf. Yeah, there was some guilt. Well, what if we don't do it, he could pass? What if we do it, but there's a complication and he could be in this state?
Right.
So there was some guilt. How do you know what the right, I think that's the question. How do you know what the right decision is to do? And you can try and be in his mind and think, okay, what would he want?
Right.
But you can never be sure.
Especially if you're a person that believes in miracles and things like that, there's always that what if.
And you know what? That was it at the end. At the end, when ultimately we decided to move to palliative care, that we made that decision, there was part of me as we waited that I thought he was going to pull out of this. Like, I still didn't believe. Like, the hospital had said, the doctors had said, you know, this is imminent. But there was still part of me that thought, you know what? He's going to pull out of this. Like, he's not going to go like this. Like, I still thought, I still believed, I still hoped, I still prayed that this was going to end differently than what it did.
I think that is, because I've been through it too, I think it's faith, and because it's what you want to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you want that to happen.
Sure.
So you're thinking, hey, there's a chance. It's because with my mom, she had pancreatic cancer. And she one night was in such pain. She had a surgery in January, had a little remission in April, but by June, July, was in pain, like woke up. We would take turns staying at the house mm-hmm. with my dad as well, just because it was a lot of work taking care of her. And she woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning and was just in agony. Oh, I like doubling. We had to hold her up to use it. Like they had a porta potty in the room. We had to hold her up to use it. It was awful. So she was in such pain and she had medication for it. It wasn't morphine, but it was some type of oral pill. Mm-hmm. And she said, I don't care what happens. She wanted to, and my mom was as conservative as they got the whole thing. She was in such pain, she was willing to chance it and take all of this medication.
Wow, really?
And she goes, if it works, great. If it doesn't, I'm at that point, I don't care. I'm okay with whatever happens. And we're just like, oof. So we had to call the nurses in, a hospice, and that's mm-hmm. when all that took place. But she would have these glimmers. She lived another month. And she was doing it for us. She was bedridden. Had a morphine drip, like she could click it on her own wow. for pain. And she would say, oh, you know, can you get me some of that chicken salad they make at Kroger? And she wasn't eating anything. And I would get it for her. And she'd take like one, like a speck on a spoon and eat it and then wouldn't touch the rest. Mm-hmm. Can you get me a root beer float? Because I really love root beer floats. So I went and bought root beer and vanilla ice cream and I made one. She'd take a sip. Mm-hmm. She was mm-hmm. doing that for us. Mm-hmm. She had zero interest in any of that. But you start thinking, hey, she ate though. Like maybe right. this is mm-hmm. good. The doctors yeah. have already said it's terminal. Like we didn't tell her how long she had. They said she might last 2 or 3 weeks.
And so she didn't know how long.
She did not know how long.
Now, what made you not tell her?
Because we wanted to let it just happen when it happened. Mm-hmm. And she knew it was terminal. Mm-hmm. That part she knew. Mm-hmm. And she would say, boy, I hope this was in July heading into August. She died in August 21st. But she said, well, if Christmas happens, well, you know, when Christmas gets here, I hope that I'm still around then. If you talked to her a month before, you would never know she was even sick.
Oh, wow. Really?
No idea. And then like 2 weeks in, like I say, it just kicked into high gear.
If you could know how long you had left, would you want to know?
No way.
No, I wouldn't want to know.
Nope, because you would alter the way you live your life.
I think you would, too. You'd always mm-hmm. be like, well, I better do this now because in X mm-hmm. amount of months, years, days, I'm not going to be able to do it.
But
now.
Altering the way you live, would that be a bad thing? Like,
you might go the other way. What right. do I care?
Yeah, that's know? True.
I mean, I wouldn't, but some
Yeah, one, that would be me.
right.
No.
What's it like Look to get a hooker?
No, no, that wouldn't
no.
be me.
Jackie no. would run up the Macy's bill.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah exactly.
Here you go, right. honey.
Yeah.
No. I'm not going to be here to pay it. Right.
I definitely would not want to know.
No.
No, I wouldn't want to know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. What do you think you would do different if you knew? Like, what would alter?
It's hard to say because it hasn't been presented. Right. Mm-hmm. And I hope that option never happens. But mm-hmm. what would I do differently? I would hope that I would be very contrite and make kind of like an alcoholic does the 12 steps and they apologize to everyone yeah. they've ever. I would think that's what I'd
okay.
do. Probably mm-hmm. not, though.
Probably not.
Changing subjects a little bit, still yeah. talking about death. And we've all experienced the loss of a pet, yes. of a dear loved pet. Oof. And that is something that you cannot prepare from.
Look at all of our, we all had the same reaction.
Yeah. yeah.
Almost
However,
like
yeah. I have learned so much about illness and pets who have an outcome that won't, and living like they do. I had, you know, two dogs who
yeah.
lost their battle with cancer. It didn't change their day in, day out activity until the very end.
Oh, and, right.
But they, That's you know, true. I always said, and you know, I'm going to live like Magellan. I'm going to mm-hmm. live like Sorella. They have terminal illness, but they just
still,
keep,
that's
but
true.
They still keep going. They've still yeah. stayed on with their life. They've still, mm-hmm. you know, they've still gone out and gone for walks and sniffed things and, you know,
yeah.
experience life.
That's a good point.
But the heartache from losing them is debilitating.
Oh,
and
gosh.
We can all speak to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with pet dogs, I mean, we're not talking about cats, are we? Who cares? No, I'm just kidding. With dogs,
all pets.
You and I
all,
both
right.
had dogs.
Sure.
And
so did I.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And with dogs, like we lost our dog in November of 22. Mm-hmm. Since my wife and I have been together 17 years, we've lost 3 dogs. A dog's level of intelligence never goes past a 2.5-year-old child.
Mm-hmm.
It never goes beyond that. We think there's, I mean, they are smart. Some dogs are smarter than others, of course. But you, we put ourselves in their paws and think like, wow, but they're still going around and sniffing. They're still animals and don't know any differently. Yes, they know they're not feeling well. They don't, they don't even know the concept of death, really, we think. I mean, but this thing about pets is there's an innocence there that isn't in humans.
Right.
And that it's so unconditional.
Right.
And it is so, they give you so, it's so unfair with dogs, especially because they do live such a short life.
Yeah.
They live a short life. It's why we say, well, every 1 year for a dog is 7 human years because they are mature. By the time they're 6 months old, they're like a 5 or 6 year old already. And it's just that innocence and that unconditional love. So when they do get sick and die, it's crushing.
And nothing can prepare you for it.
No, no.
Nothing can prepare you for it.
Nope.
I know from experiences that, it, like I said before, it's debilitating. It just, it hurts so much. And and the disbelief that they're not there.
Right.
And there's their dog bed. And their bowls. And I'm just like, oh, man. That's, And then you're, it's going to sound corny, but like you're, you know, you're around the house. It's like, oh, there's still a, there's a dust bunny in the corner with their fur.
Right.
And
my sweater, I have it on my sweater. I'm not going to wash this sweater.
Yeah. Let's talk about bereavement and funerals and stuff like that, because it's mind blowing to me. Like when my dad died, just how fast everything has to happen. And I don't get it. I really don't. And I don't agree with it. I feel like we, you know, like I'm sure you guys did too, you know, for the funeral, pick out the music, the this, but it's quick.
Which suit
it's
is
like,
he
which
gonna
one
wear?
Of these, you know, which one of these 5 songs? And I'm like, I never even heard of these songs, you know? But everything is like just rush and just get it done.
There's an urgency.
And
why?
Because it's a business and they, you know, get it in, get it out, get it done. The other thing,
I think it helps with the grieving too.
That you're not
if you're
dwelling
just waiting,
on it,
I've got the funeral in another week and you're just, it's, I think.
Isn't it a disservice though to the, for the person that you're doing the funeral for? Like they live this great, this life. Hopefully it was a good life and hopefully, you know, they did a lot or whatever, but like, don't you want to honor them and do something a little more personalized and like custom? And I don't know. I just have such a hard time with that.
I think that you can have the service and then if you want to do a memorial or do a celebration of life, 3 weeks, 3 months, whatever later, I think you can go and do that and honor them that way. But I do think, I agree that it does help with the grieving. Like, all right, that because you're waiting, you know, you're, if they're going to be cremated, you're waiting for that to happen and you're waiting for the ashes to be returned and you're waiting. So I do think that, you know, it probably the timeline, you're, if you waited until you were ready, you'd never be ready. It's a set, you know, it's how many stages of grief.
Yeah. You know? And then what about bereavement though? Like some companies offer it, some don't, but it's 3 days.
Yeah.
It's like in 3 days, you got to come back and get moving. Because
bereavement meaning which part of bereavement?
Like taking
time off from work.
Oh, I think it should be. It should be a week. Yeah, I think it should be a week. Did you like the person? That's the other part.
Yeah.
No, but I mean,
if you didn't like the person.
Yeah, I think if a parent dies, definitely a week.
Or a child.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's, that's a tough
one. How do you
one.
Come back to work after 3 days?
How do you continue living?
Exactly.
After 3 days.
Yeah.
I don't think, do people still, businesses still only give 3 days? I think most give at least a week, don't they?
Do they?
I've never worked anywhere that gave you less than a week. Never.
Oh.
But the 3 day thing, especially if it's a parent, I don't know. I think that's pretty heartless if they don't.
And in education, no matter how many days you have saved, I can speak from experience. When my father was in the hospital and, you know, wasn't doing well, no matter how many days, and I had, you know, close to 200 days of time that I had not used in my career. So,
oh, so it carries over.
It carries over.
Oh, no kidding.
Because in education, you can't take, you get 10 to 12 days, whatever you get. You can't take all those. You can take them, but in your evaluation, if you use all those days, if you use, I think the number is 7. If you use more than 7 in your evaluation, even though they give you the days, you are deemed ineffective for attendance. Even if you have the days, if you use more than, I'm going to say 7 days. I believe it's 7 at the time I was experiencing this. I believe it's 7.
Wow.
If you use more than 7 days in a school year, for whatever reason,
not even consecutive days, you are
deemed ineffective.
Wow.
On your evaluation, on your state evaluation, you are deemed ineffective. Consequently, when I was in the position where I was having to be at the hospital and be by my father's bedside and this and anything, I took FMLA. I took intermittent FMLA. And at the time,
and FMLA means
the Family Medical Leave Act, where you can take the time, even though I had the time to be taken. I had to say to the doctor, my father's doctor, can you sign this form? And he's like, why? And I said, because I'm going to be deemed ineffective. I'm not an ineffective teacher. I'm a highly effective teacher. But I'm going to be deemed ineffective because I'm taking time to be here to support my mother, to make decisions, to be part of a family. For my dad. So, mm-hmm. So I took intermittent FMLA so that I could be there.
How much time do you think companies should give?
You know what? I think everybody's process of going through grieving is different.
Right.
When I did go back, here's a perfect example. I had to go back. I went back. My father died in May, and so there wasn't a lot left to the school year. Mm. When I went back, one of my kids said to me, Miss Guccini, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. And she looked at me and she said, no, you're not. Like, the kids knew. Yeah. Like, I was, sure. You know, I was in there being Miss Guccini. I was in there being the best third grade teacher I could possibly be.
Yeah.
And she looked at me and knew I wasn't there. But I also knew I didn't have an opportunity. I didn't have any other options. Right. I had to go back and finish a school year. I had to go back to my job. When in reflection, the next year, when I was thinking about, what's coming up in May and what we're teaching, I did not remember having taught that the previous year.
Wow.
Because
you're somewhere else.
I was somewhere else. I was physically there and I was doing the best I could. And I kept those kids safe. And to the best of my knowledge, everybody learned what they should in that last month.
Yeah.
However, a year later, when I'm like, God, I don't remember teaching this last year. Like, that's a blur.
Yeah.
That section is a blur. So how long should you be out? I guess there's both sides.
You're deemed unfit. What's the term?
No, until you feel like you're, until you feel like yourself, until you've, maybe it's different for everyone and the grief that they go through and the stages and all of that. But I think for some people, it's good to get up and get back into a routine and get started.
You know, everyone's different.
So I think everyone's different. I don't think you can say, you can only have 3 days or you get 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. I think it's an individual decision on how what you can do.
Bold Leap is produced by Podcast Nation. To learn more, visit us at podcastnation.com.
So let's talk about somebody close to you, maybe not a parent, but maybe somebody closer in age or something like that, that dies. Do you then start thinking about the rest of your life,
your mortality,
are there things that you start that you want to change, like in your life, because somebody close to you in age passed?
I'm not going to change anything because we're going to die anyway, but I would say, no, honestly, I always sort of abstractly have thought about it. That was
you
a
do?
Terrible sentence. I'm saying, even when I was younger, someday, but it was, it's far off. And go ahead.
No, that's really interesting because we all think it's far off, but we don't know.
In the grand scheme of things, it's
right. So does it make you do things different? Like, for example, take a bold leap into something that maybe you've hesitated doing or, starting something that you or making a change or transition in your life or whatever. Does it make you, when you think of that, does that convince you to go ahead and do something?
The thing that it can, and just to clarify, when I say abstract, I mean like in my 30s, 40s, even 50s, you think about it because you know it's going to happen. Plus you're going to more funerals than you used to. But now that I'm not in my 50s, now that I'm 50 plus, I do think about it
yeah.
more because, well, the life expectancy for a guy is 76 or 7. Life
it expect, is yeah. today?
Yep. Life expectancy for a woman is 78. And but that's the average.
Okay.
You live longer yeah. and some right. live less.
Right.
But I will say having a, and not that I was close to them, but, you know, you see it on Facebook and
yeah.
classmates, people you went to high right. school mm-hmm. with, like, right. oh, so-and-so mm-hmm. died. And there have probably been in the last, I don't know, last 5 years, close to 10
wow, classmates. Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, who died in their late 50s or 60 wow. for various you know, yeah. heart attacks yeah. usually is the case, or yeah. cancer. A couple yeah. of the lady, I was going to say girl because I knew her since I was 5. Had cancer, died of cancer, and it happens. I mean, cancer and heart attack are typically the ones that are, you know, you expect to see. So when you see more of those as you're getting older, like, man, it could be just one of those things. Like you go to bed one night.
Right.
And that's it.
Right.
You just don't wake up.
So does that make you live differently, though?
Health-wise, I try to, because I eat like a teenager. I've never had issues with food. I've never had issues, really, like stomach issues, nothing like that. I can typically eat whatever I want, but I'm getting to the age where it's like, okay, but you can't. Because you can do it and nothing has ever happened, you could be laying groundwork for something to happen. So I've tried to be a little healthier, and like this job especially, I sit most of the day. Mm-hmm. So, but it's hard for me to actually consciously get up and move.
So do you think
health is a thing?
So do you think that taking care of your health is going to help you live longer?
It by not doing it, it could definitely make me not live as long. I mean, anything can happen anytime.
Right.
But I mean, enough of what I know and what doctors say and what experts say, you need to move your body. Mm-hmm. The minute you stop moving is the minute everything really starts slowing down. Mm-hmm. And you get to an age. I mean, I'm not as fit as I was 10 years ago. I'm talking about just getting out of bed.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about running a marathon, but I even like running. I played mm-hmm. softball up until a couple of years ago. The minute I stopped, I noticed like, wow, I'm not as fast as I used to be. I'm not as nimble as I used mm-hmm. to be. And if you don't move, it's just yeah. everything's just sort of right. that's right. how it is.
Right.
So yes, I do think that eating healthier and being active can prolong your life. Definitely.
Now let me ask you this. Mm. If you guys, I'm gonna ask you each separately, but if you could attend your funeral, like if you could do a funeral
yeah.
before your funeral,
yes,
would you do it?
Oh, to see what
shows up and what they say in the speeches, and like, are you curious about that at all?
I'm going anyway because I'm going to haunt the people that show or well, yeah, don't show, right?
If so long as you're not spending extra time in purgatory, you could probably watch. But yeah, I've thought about like that. Oh, man, I hope they play this music.
Yeah,
I hope that. I mean, really, it should be a celebration. I mean, I know the term is somewhat new, but celebration of life.
Right.
I will say this, and here's my mom's fear. This is back in 2006. There were childhood friends that showed up that I hadn't seen. I'm talking about wow. neighborhood friends. Like we were tight. You know, you get into your 20s and 30s. I have 4 best friends. We're all still best friends. But there were a few of us that I had known since, I'm talking 3 years old.
Wow.
Who lived right behind us. And we were friends up until our early 20s. And again, we just sort of drifted yeah, apart.
Right.
But there were friends at my mom's funeral who I hadn't seen in a good 15, 20 years. And there were like 8 of us, my sisters, my brother, their sisters. Like we all wow. grew up together. And we're all, you know how the circle forms when you start a conversation.
Yes. Oh,
got a circle conversation going, a conversation circle. We were 5 feet from my mom's casket. And we just sort of, and we were just reminiscing. And it was
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
It was great. It was actually, my mom would have loved it.
That's what, do
it's
you
like,
think
oh my God, all the kids in the neighborhood are right there.
Do you think your mom would have expected those kids to be there? Or the people
that's
to be there?
That's interesting. I don't know. I really don't know. Mm-hmm. Like I'm sure for mine, you probably have to buy tickets. But
you probably do. What about you, Gina?
I said, I'm going to go anyway. I'm going to go back and haunt anybody who doesn't show. And I'm going to be there to see the show for whoever does attend.
Mm-hmm. lightning's going to strike.
Yeah, something like that. Hey, about a year ago, we had the Ladies of Law on our show. And on that show, we talked about the importance of legacy planning, preserving assets, finances, and health decisions. So we'll leave the link to their website because they do some estate planning. We'll also leave the link to that show so you can go back and take a listen and glean some insight.
Great idea.
Yeah. Well, this has been a...
I'd like to say uplifting, a lively conversation.
You know what? Everyone who's listening is going to go through it.
That's right.
If they, I mean, obviously, many already have. But
thanks for sitting in with us today. Remember, sometimes the only mode of transportation available is a bold leap. Comment and share this episode. Thanks for listening, and be bold.